I think the only people who are on holiday still are Greg and Laura. And I just don't want to be the only person suffering from envy this morning. So I must tell you about their holiday. They have gone off to Arizona, where with 11 others, they're going to pick up their Harley Davidson bikes and going to spend their time touring that area, Flagstaff, Death Valley, all those sort of places, which seems to me to be great if you didn't have to be on a motorbike. So they went Wednesday, Thursday, was it, Phil? Yeah. And away till next weekend, so that's quite some holiday. Well, let me, Dave, why don't you sit down just for a sec, and we'll get this set up, yeah? Because we said about the fact that Sundays are a springboard, not a destination. That is because we think that Sundays are here to help people who want to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of their lives. So that's what Sunday's about. It's for people who are disciples. Disciples can mean followers. A better idea is to think of it as disciples, as learners, people with L plates on. Disciples do things badly. Okay. And that is where we come from. Just before summer, during the summer, early on, David and I were sitting talking, and David said, I've got some things that I'm thinking about vision at the moment. And he talked to me about two things, one of which is something pretty new. You'll have all identified it. You'll have all identified it as a problem area, but Dave began to talk to me about getting hold of this, and he'll come back to that. He's not going to talk about that this morning. It's a separate thing. But today, Dave's going to be talking to us about our mission. Now, we have had that mission in the background of finding out what God was doing and joining in at least since 2004, 2005. It's been influencing us. But during last year, at the beginning of last year, we thought this is a good way of expressing what, even in 200 years' time, if we lasted that long, we would still want to be doing. Finding, serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. And those of you who can remember that far back, remember during the TKC prayer time during 2018, we got a freezer box, I think it was a freezer box, and Barra wrote that out for us on it. And during the summer, she worked on it for the banner as well. And we've allowed it to bed down. And now Dave wants to drive to detail, and I think this is going to be really very valuable, and we're going to do this in sort of a sandwich. So he'll talk first about principles, and then I'm going to put some Bible into it, because I think I can point to some stuff in the next couple of weeks that we want to connect with, and then he'll talk to us for a while about the practicalities. So Father, may the word of our lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Yeah, so as Dave said, we came up with it, well, we started talking about this more intentionally at the beginning of last year. And Barra created the banner. She also created that Skinny Legends flag. If you want to find out what that's all about, talk to the teens. Don't think I fully understand, but it's all good stuff. And we looked at how God is continually doing things around us. We talked about how you find what God is doing. We looked at the examples of Esther and Stephen and how they served, what they found God doing in extraordinary ways. And then we looked a bit at what it means with Wiltshire and beyond. And in some ways, it's what we have been doing for many years. So 2003, we had a vision to create a mobile community centre. We converted a double-decker bus and we launched that. And Sally Wheeler, who was the vicar of Laycock at that time, God had put on her heart an estate of social and emergency housing that was on the edge of her parish, that was marginalised, that was isolated. And she heard about the bus and she got it and she suddenly thought, I know how I can help this community. If the bus went there, they could be a facility there and do things. And so she talked to Andy and we started a care and toddler group and an after school club and a residence cafe for the older members of that community. And I don't know if you spoke to Andy what he was expecting to find the most life in. But I think I'm right in saying that it was the residence cafe where we found the life, where we found what God was doing. And these older people had lived on this estate for a good number of years. They knew each other, but they only really said hello as they were going about their business. I don't think they'd have called themselves friends. They certainly didn't get together regularly. And they started coming on the bus once a week, having a cup of tea, catching up. And friendships were built, relationship was developed, and community start to form. This week at Soul Survivor, Mike Pilavachi was talking about how the mayor of Watford came to Soul Survivor Church. And Andy Croft, who's one of the leaders at Soul Survivor Church, said to him, what is the biggest problem in Watford? And the mayor said, well, the biggest problem is loneliness, and the next problem is car parking. And here, all those years ago, God saw a group of people who were in danger of becoming lonely and isolated. And he found a way, he inspired a church to create a mobile community centre. He put the community on the heart of somebody. They saw it, they got it, and it came together. And as I say, community was built. These guys started coming to cabaret. And they enjoyed three nights a year going out together to the big smoke that was Chippenham. And it was a real pleasure and a privilege to serve them and to see what God would do in their lives. And Andy, in many ways, became sort of a pastor to that community. And we're seeing the same thing with the new bus. So we just launched that. We got a load of money to provide one-off events for young people across North Wiltshire. It's not exactly what we want to do because we want to be in a community. We want to build community. But we went for it anyway. The Open Blue Prayer Group felt that there was something about the visit that was going to go on at Killearn. And they thought that there could be something really, you know, God was in this, really in this. More in this than the others maybe. And Andy turns up and somebody comes along and says, what's this? And he says, oh, it's bus. I'm doing something for the young people. And they said, that's fantastic. I've been praying that somebody would come in and provide something for the young people. And so God was doing something. We've joined in and served that. We're now going monthly. And we're going to be looking to go fortnightly. Open Blue has great stories. I could talk about Thingley. I could talk about Halavington. I could talk about the One Pot Cookery course. Of course, it's what we do in cabaret as well. It's a great night out. You invite your friends. There's good entertainment. There's a delicious snack. Story of faith in the second half, and then we let the Holy Spirit work. He starts to meet people where they're at. He starts to draw them. He prompts you to respond in an appropriate way with your friends. We have people from other churches saying, wow, this is great. You've got all these non-Christians along. Why don't you tell them the gospel? Why don't you ask them to pray the prayer? But no, we're about letting His Spirit work. We're about letting walking the journey with them. And then, of course, the Alpha course that we ran last year. I think it was 2 years ago, about this time of year, we thought it'd be a good idea to do an Alpha course. And we set it up and we advertised it, and you guys invited your friends, and we didn't see anyone come on that Alpha course. And then last year, about this time, a couple said, it'd be really good if we could do Alpha. And so we said, that's great, we will do that. And we set it up and we advertised it. And for us, we pushed it quite hard at the Christmas Connection. And I think we saw 10 or 11 people come along to the Alpha Supper, the first meeting. And we saw about 6 people do the course. One person had been recommended to do Alpha by his friends in Southampton. And he actually Googled us and found it on our website and joined in and did it. And we've now got people who are now coming to Dayspring who are going on with their journey of God, have been discipled, are involved in dinner church, and are growing in Jesus. And so, you know, all over within Dayspring, finding out what God is doing and serving it is sort of what we do. In many ways, that's what Jesus did. He said in John 5:19, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So shortly after we had talked about serving what we find God doing last year, someone from outside of the church asked me, what is Dayspring's vision? And I said, it's serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. And he said, that's great. That's why Dayspring exists. That's what it's about. But that's not vision. Vision is, what would Dayspring look like in 5 years? New wine this year, one of the leaders who spoke in one of the main venues is a church leader from Germany. He leads a church in a big estate on the outskirts of Frankfurt. I think he mentioned something like 2,000 houses, and they're on this sort of hill. And the estate's known as Reichsberg, if I pronounce that right. And he said that means Judgment Mountain. And he wants it to become known as Lichtberg, which will mean Mountain of Light. And he, as he was talking about it, he said, don't ask me what my church will look like in 5 years. Ask me how my community will be transformed in 5 years. And that's really where my heart is. You know, how will Wiltshire be transformed because we have been serving what we find God doing? Dave and I have talked about the whole vision thing and commented that if we're looking to find out what God is doing and then join in, it's quite difficult to actually know what we might be doing in 5 years, because who knows what we will find. I think there will be times when we get glimpses, and you see a bit of that with the prayer group saying, oh, there's something about Cologne when the bus goes there. But I think at other times, it'll be like discovering the buried treasure or the precious pearl. And we will need to prize what we found and then join in. But that challenge about what is our vision got me thinking. How will we know in a year's time that this is more than a banner that we just put up on a Sunday morning? How will we know that we are actually living it? And so I started thinking about what are the characteristics of a community that notices what God does and joins in. And I've come up with some things. I think that a community that serves what God does in Wiltshire and beyond, we should have stories about it. A couple of weeks ago, Dave asked the people who were here, you know, where have you seen God at work this week? And it was great to hear what Philippa and Richard had to say. And I'm sure there were others of you who could have said, oh yeah. And probably if you're like me, you went away and thought, oh, I should have said, and I could have said, and because I never think of these things at the moment. We should know how big our God is compared to the issues, the situations, the problems we come across. So we're traveling to New Wine, and as we're going along the A34, I notice there's a whole load of rubber sort of appearing off one of our tyres on our trailer. And I realise the tyre's blown. And as I'm pulling over, there just happened to be a lay-by there. As I pulled over into the lay-by, I'm thinking, I really could do without this, Lord. It's going to stop, you know, we're going to be here for an hour or longer getting it sorted. And it means we're going to be late to New Wine and we won't get as good a pitch. And oh, do without this, Lord. But when I look back on it, I can see that God was in that situation. The A34, if you know it, is two lanes of extremely fast traffic, and most of it, there's no hard shoulder, there's just a grass verge. We happened to be right by a lay-by I could get into safely, get the car off the road. There was an area within the lay-by where we could send the kids and knew that they were in no danger at all. The day before, I'd been packing for new wine, and I always pack a bit of a toolkit, and I was going through my tools. And I share the trailer with my father-in-law. And a few years ago, he turned up and he said, "Oh, I found this wrench. It's brilliant for getting the wheel nuts off the trailer." And in the last couple of years, when we've gone anywhere with the trailer, I've just sort of left it at home. I've had other things that would allow us to undo the nuts, but I haven't bothered picking it up. And as I'm going through the tools, I think I'll pick it up. And I probably ought to take that with me. So I put it in the toolbox to take with me. And it was perfect for changing the tire. And we were back on the road within 50 minutes. We probably only spent half that time actually changing the wheel. The other half of the time was me talking to our recovery service and finding out they couldn't help us. I should listen to my wife's ideas a lot sooner. So that's a bit of a silly example, but it was a situation, and initially I was thinking, oh no, that's terrible. But God was bigger than that, he was in it. And looking back, I can see how he helped with all of that. But if a friend is terminally ill, yes, we are going to show empathy. Yes, we are going to be sympathetic. Yes, we will be compassionate. But how are we going to bring hope into that situation as well? If we truly believe that God is bigger than situations, then that's where I feel we need to be working. Next one is not accepting the status quo. So Sue, for the last year, has been teaching a reception class. And over the summer, she said, "I've really enjoyed teaching reception. My knees haven't, but I've really enjoyed it." But she's had a frustration. For some of the kids, our education system does not do the best for them. And teachers, with what they need to get through in the curriculum and the way they're expected to teach and the number of teaching assistants they have and all of that kind of thing, are unable to help those kids in the best way. And I don't know about you, when you're on the ground level and there's something that's beyond your control that means you can't do the best, you think, well, there's a better way, but it's all up there that the decisions have got to be made. I mean, my tendency is to say, oh, ho-hum, I can't change that. And to get on and do the best I can with what I can do. But God loves those kids. He wants the best for them. And so as the Spirit prompts us, I think we need to notice those situations, and then we need to be looking for him, how we can change them, what we can do to affect them. We also need to be willing to speak up for those who can't. So I'm a trustee of Chippenham Boroughlands, and particularly with some of the personal applications for help, you'll hear a story, and while the person may have made a poor decision or done something that I necessarily wouldn't have done, as the story goes on, you find that the system has let them down, that they've fallen between gaps in service provision, and they're in some really difficult positions. And life is really hard for them. And quite often I find myself saying, you know, as a nation, we should be ashamed that there are people who are suffering like this. And of course, CVLC is very fortunate. It's able to help those people. It can give financial help. It can point people to other agencies who can help them. And we do hear great stories of people who've had their lives put back on track and they're beginning to able to make something of their life. But I think the challenge is, do we speak truth to power? Yes, we will pull the people out the river, as they say, but do we go upstream and find out who's pushing them in? And so we need to be able to speak for those who can't. So as a community, we should look to learn from each other. It'd be great to hear stories. If you feel prompted about something and you're not sure what to do, then talk to others. See what they think. and we should be open to people making suggestions. If you're talking about a situation at work, somebody might say, oh, you know, at that point, God was really giving you an opportunity. Maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. So that's where I got to.
Okay, we've got the video next. Okay, yep. So, one of the things about getting to the Bible is that it makes complicated things simple, and it makes simple things complicated as well. We're going to look at Mark chapter 9 this morning, just for a little bit. Next week I'm going to go a bit before that and a bit after, just to demonstrate how, in fact, with this business of finding out what God is doing and joining in for disciples involves ups and downs, and is something that a lot of the time you do rather badly. Okay, now let me just read from Mark. I could have used Matthew or Luke. Recently, guys, I've talked to you about the fact that because there are separate sources in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's often good to look at them together. And I know I've stuck in front of you a whacking great book that cost, well, a lot of money anyway, that I use for reference, but was really impressed to find that you can get one for £6, which has got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in parallel. I thought that's a bargain. If you think that's just a couple of magazines, isn't it? It's well worth getting hold of. Now, let me read the Bible text. I'm going to ask you a question, and then we'll look at the Lumo video version. So here we are. After 6 days, this is Mark chapter 9, verse 2. After 6 days. Now, we'll come back to what had happened 6 days before, but there was some pretty important stuff that had been going on then. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, shiny white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. All sorts of reasons why it could have been Elijah and Moses. But if you think that Moses stood for the law and Elijah stood for the prophets, you'll get most of it anyway. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I wanted to turn it into a Bible week with tents. The first soul survivor plan, he did this because he didn't know what to say. It says they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the sun, came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Really weird story, but we get it from three sources, and it was certainly something that was talked a lot about around that time, and has led to a phrase coming into our vocabulary, the idea of a mountaintop experience. A mountaintop experience. Now, here's my question to you. So, Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. My question is this. Assuming that's accurate, what do you think it was like? What did it look like? Any idea? Difficult, isn't it? Now just imagine trying to make a film of it, and these guys have done it, but I'd like to ask you afterwards whether you think they got it. Let's stop there, go into that. So do you think they got it? Do you think it was like that? that Jesus was stand up there with his arms out, and it was that way? Because, of course, we've only got the description that James and John and Peter brought down the mountain with them. Moses, how did they recognize Moses and Elijah? Had Moses got some tablets under his arm? And how would they have recognized Elijah anyway? Perhaps they said to Jesus afterwards, who are those two guys? But any road, what we know is that Jesus became shiny, dazzling white. I get infuriated by the number of updates to my apps that I'm expected to do. And quite often you look at the app and it will actually say in the description, we've made this more shiny. Okay. And I think, yeah, that's just another nothing update. Particularly with banking apps, they do it for no other reason, I think, than just to make you keep on updating it. So it was dazzling white. But what we do know, of course, is that they wouldn't have found it terribly easy to get clothes white at that time. And it was something sort of spectacular. So that's what mountain top experiences, something spectacular, something out of the ordinary. For some people, they would have had a mountaintop experience while they were on an alpha course. And if you ask the guys who were up the front this morning, they could probably tell you about mountaintop experiences at Soul Survivor. Most of us will actually put our mountaintop experiences when we were younger, if they were spiritual, because as we get older, we don't seem to have so much time for it. But they were shiny experiences, experiences that you wanted to keep on going. And let's just have a look at this. No, we won't worry about doing it on there. We've pushed for time. Out of these shiny experiences, poor old Peter wanted to say something. It says he was so frightened he didn't know what to say. But of course, that never stopped Peter. And I really sympathise with Peter in that regard, that the not knowing what to say is never a reason for not saying anything. You just keep on going. And he thought, we want this to carry on. I know what we'll do. Let's put up three shelters up at the top of the mountain. No trees, no branches. Let's put up three shelters. Where they were going to get them from, I don't know. But if you can have Moses and Elijah appear, surely you can do that. And somehow, he just wanted it to keep on going. He'd seen what God was doing, and he'd decided how he was going to join in. He'd got a proposal, put up some tents, keep it going. And I guess that was something that I might have done. I think it's probably something I have done. I think it's something in Day Spring that we've done. We've seen something that's been good and was evidently where God was at work. And we've thought, I know what we'll do. We'll make a plan. We'll sort this out. But then the next thing that happened, well, what was the next thing that happened in the story, in the narrative? There was a cloud. And that was a real dose of reality. Yeah? A cloud appeared and covered what was happening a little way away from them. And of course, that's just God saying that's where it really is. You may think you've got it. You may think you've understood it. You may think you've worked it out. But it might be more complicated. And instead of Peter talking, God spoke out of the cloud and said, Jesus is my son, listen to him. Now, it's pretty poignant because of what had been happening 6 days before. And when the clouds disappeared, Moses and Elijah had gone, And instead of shiny Jesus, they were back with ordinary Jesus. Not to put too fine a point on it, and I did go to see Horrible Histories on Friday, I know, but instead of shiny Jesus, there was stinky Jesus. Yeah? Just ordinary. One of the guys who you walked along the road with. And somehow, part of serving what we find God doing is to do with seeing ordinary Jesus at work. We know what shiny Jesus looks like because people write books about it and people post stuff on the internet about it. And we're grateful for all those shiny Jesus experiences, the time when God does something that is next to impossible. But we call them miracles because they don't happen very often. But that doesn't mean to say that God is not at work every day and in all sorts of ways. I'll pass over to Dave to finish off with the other bit, and we'll come back to some of this next week.
Right, so going forward, I think it'd be really great if we start to hear stories of where people have seen God at work and how they are serving him in that. That's probably not something for today, but we want to look to do that over the next few months. It'd be great if on a Sunday morning in the news and promos there were stories. If we had so many stories, we couldn't tell them all because people were seeing God at work and they were serving it and seeing amazing things happen. But today, guys, I think what I'd really like to do is just ask you to think, where have you seen God at work? You may well want to close your eyes. Just if your mind is like mine and goes blank when you get a question like this. Dave talking about never being able to stop saying something, I'm complete opposite. but if your mind goes blank when you have a question like this, then maybe just bow your head, close your eyes, and just ask God to show you where he's been at work, and you maybe have noticed it. Let's spend some time just thanking him for what he's doing. And as you find yourself thanking him, maybe begin to ask him, how can I serve in this situation? What would you have me do, Lord? Maybe now let's just turn it around. Is there a situation where you don't see God at work and you would like to? Maybe like Sue with her classroom and the kids. Maybe like Sally Wheeler with that estate that God had put on her heart. Again, if you can't think of anything, then maybe ask God. Tell him what's on your heart for that situation. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you are at work in Wiltshire and beyond, even when we can't see it. And I pray that this week we will have our eyes open, that we will notice where you are at work. May we see the people around us through your eyes and understand your heart for them. May we be listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will give us a boldness so that we're able to join in with what you're doing and to serve here in Wiltshire and beyond for some of us. Yeah, I just pray this week that you will open our eyes, give us opportunities to serve you, give us the boldness to step in, give us words of wisdom so that we can speak into situations. May we be especially aware of you this week. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for your many blessings for us. Amen. Right, that's about all I got.